Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Awesome. Welcome back to the podcast. I am thrilled today because I have Spencer Harbor and Michelle Russell on my little podcast. And I met you guys years ago before you even moved to Boise, Idaho. You shot an email out to the yoga studio and you're like, hey, we're yoga teachers and we'll be visiting. Let us know if we can teach any family yoga for you. And we ended up creating this relationship. You became friends with Sally, the owner, and now you have Kula Connection. Why don't you guys just say hi and tell me a little bit about yourselves and we'll get the ball rolling.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Christina. It's so fun to stay in touch with people as we grow. And so that was about 3 years ago that we started to, we had moved back from Europe and we were coming back and forth between Oregon, where we were professors, and looking at a move to Boise when we met. And then we did move over here and we started the business. And so the Kula Connection, Kula is a Sanskrit word. It's a yoga word that means community of heart or choice. And when we moved over to Idaho, that was our intent, was to build a community around plant-based food and yoga, because we have found those things to be key in feeling wonderful and having a great experience in this form, in this life, in this time. And so that's what we've been building for the last couple years together, is this yoga community around plant-based food. And so we work together. I do the food, Spencer does the yoga, and that's where we've gotten to. It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for chiming in there.
Yep. Anything I can do to help. Michelle usually, she's really the spokesperson and kind of the brains behind the whole outfit there. I'm just, my biggest role is just to continually support. That's kind of my role as a yoga instructor too, is just kind of support these people that are take it upon themselves to find themselves through movement, through yoga, through the philosophies, what have you. And that's really what attracted us to it, is that there's this whole system that people don't really know about with yoga, and it really works hand in hand with the nutrition that we're providing, the food that we're making for everybody. So it's really a hand in glove fit.
Do you guys have a storefront, a truck? Do you do events? Do you have your own like brick and mortar where people come do yoga and food? How does it work?
Thanks for setting us up, Christina. We are currently located on the second floor of the Edelman Building, which is right downtown on the corner of Capitol and Idaho. And we do our cheese production. So our primary product right now is a vegan cheese. It's made from cashews. It's a live probiotic that I cultured and fermented myself. It's got 9 billion strains of lactobacilli per ounce, and it's an amazing product. It's sold at the co-ops. We make that out of the kitchen there, and then we also host events. Our favorite event is currently a couples yoga class that we offer together.
Oh, I saw that. That's so cool.
It is really fun to get both partners in and do that fun activity together. We bring them in and we do like an hour of partners stretching yoga. It's not acro yoga. It's really accessible, mm-hmm. but there's lots of touching. It's nice. People mm-hmm. start laughing. They start having a good time. You overhear some funny things. And then we do like mindfulness activities where you get to talk about like things like, when was the time you couldn't keep your hands off of each other? Or think about how you met and, you know, what were the things you can remember about that day? And then you're sharing them with each other. And then we follow that up with a 3-course plant-based meal.
So, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's an amazing date night.
Yes.
A way to reconnect. What inspired you guys to create that?
Oh yeah. That's a great question. Living in Europe for close to 6 years, we saw in one of the neighboring villages we were at, there's this huge draw which brought people there was this cafe that we wanted to go in because we were plant-based at the time, you know, and there wasn't too many places. So we were obviously like attracted to go in there and check this place out where we can get like a sandwich or something like that. But when we walked in, saw that they had this old yoga studio space in there as well. So we walked in there and we saw that there were people that were just finishing a class, a yoga class, and would just saunter on into the
cafe.
And
brilliant.
I would have like a
green
sandwich
smoothie.
Or a green smoothie or a red smoothie or whatever color you would want that day.
And you could have orange even.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So we went to that a few times and we thought, what a great idea for people to save time and to build health there. You just go to one stop. You know, mm-hmm. kind of one-stop shopping for your health and your wellness. You go and you do your yoga, you get all zen and you're feeling great. And then you don't want to blow that feeling and you mm-hmm. want to know you're feeding yourself and nourishing yourself with something good. So
and then that idea for couples yoga came from constantly hearing from one partner or the other. It's not always the female, it's sometimes the male. But one partner or the other would always say to us, like, I wish I could get my partner involved. You know, and
yeah.
so that was why we created the date night, was just to make a low barrier, low threat access point for people. Like, most of the night is not spent doing yoga. It's just spent having tons of fun.
Yeah.
And so that was the impetus for creating that, was really because that's what we were being asked for the most, was people were like, how can I get my partner, you know, living the same things I'm doing?
I hear that all the time at the yoga studio. Yeah. It'd be so great if I could pull my partner in here.
Like, yeah.
I would just feel so connected to them if we could have this experience together.
Yeah, we right. hear that a lot too. And so we started the couples date night, and then we went a step farther than that. And Spencer started his own, it's called Kula Dudes, and it's a men's yoga group. And so, that's something that we found, is that about 80% of yoga teachers are female. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to men about why they maybe don't embrace yoga right away, it's usually because they don't see themselves in the instructor. You know, they look at a female and think, well, that's for her. You know, but when they have a male instructor, it's easier for them to relate, and the barrier for threat is lower.
Is that what you felt, Spencer, when you started getting into yoga, as you just didn't see it as an activity for males?
Honestly, I really got into yoga. I was doing a little bit before we met years and years ago, but it wasn't until Michelle started, you know, doing this for herself and for her health. And little backstory, I mean, we were both 80 pounds heavier when we started this journey over 10 years ago.
Really?
I was 80 pounds heavier. Michelle was about 80 pounds heavier. And we just hit this point where, like, okay, we're tired of this. You know what I mean? We decided to say, well, let's just try this whole thing out to where we're not eating meat or as cheese. And I don't care. I mean, we want to drop this weight off or what have you. Started doing that, and she started feeling better. After she was teaching classes, she would normally be so tired, she just want to crash.
Uh-huh.
Now she's coming home and having more energy. And then she just popped in a yoga DVD she got at Costco, like, you know, 5 years prior to that. And we just started doing that. I remember sitting on the couch, you know, it's pretty poignant. I was just sitting on the couch. I don't know. I might have been eating something, probably the couch. And it is leather. Anyway, she's doing it over and over each day. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start doing it and start joining. And I started joining her. And I just remember just being a downward facing dog and feeling like, I'm going to keel over here and just after a minute. And we just did it day by day by day. So when I started, it was really just to support Michelle. And I saw her, what she was doing. I was like, you know, I could do that too.
Mm.
And then it never really had that thought that I needed to do yoga for men. I wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
And what really pulled me in was the philosophy behind all of this type of stuff.
Cause really?
It really helps me understand is like, wow, there's this whole creed behind nonviolence and truthfulness and non-stealing and understanding the yamas and niyamas. And
mm-hmm.
it really just pulled me in there. And I thought, what a great program that, that's been around for like 8,000 plus years that people can just insert themselves and go through this entire program for self-realization. So that's what really pulled me in. I was like, guys need to know more about this. And when I started talking about that more and more, that's when, the wives and the girlfriends were like, oh yeah, he needs to go. Where are you doing this at? So that's kind of how that started. And I saw that there was an opportunity for doing this with fellas. So
when you have your men's group, I'm imagining it's similar to when I hold a teacher training. Everyone kind of timidly walks in. They don't know anyone. They're like, I don't know why I'm here. I just felt the calling and now I'm here.
Totally.
What's that like for men's group?
That's, again, a great question. You really want to really set the stage and be very open and don't have it really tell fellas that there's really no expectations for you to be acrobats or to go all the way. And that's really the first thing you're trying to break down with a fella's ego is just to be open that we invite all levels. You don't have to be flexible to start.
No expectations.
No expectations. You just being there and being present in the moment is yoga, and we just got to move mindfully through all of this. And it really surprises Philip. Every time they get done, they have a huge smile on their face. Like, that was not what I expected.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things I saw, Christina, was when we were at Eastern Oregon University as professors, Spencer would often have his biomechanics class do yoga. And eventually yoga caught on with the football team. And for that whole season and preseason, he had the EOU football team doing yoga.
Yeah.
And these giant linebackers?
Well, they're linemen.
Linemen is the right term. In their 20s are huffing and puffing and moaning. And I mean, it was some of the most vocal yoga I've ever been to.
That breath work. Yeah.
Yes. A lot of breath work, breath work up top and below. We're talking about football players that eat a lot. Anyway.
Oh, man.
So it was interesting, though, too, because sometimes in these classes when I'm running, the football team through a vinyasa, I brought Grace along with me. And, Grace at the time, she teaches yoga, too, and she's all of 3 foot tall at the time.
How old was she?
At the time, I think she was 11.
They were
10.
Oh, yeah, because your daughters are twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. She started just taking them through, Soya Namaskar and through all these things, sun salutations, and had that whole, the whole team, the look of disbelief on their face and sweat pouring down.
That's amazing.
And they all shook her hand afterwards and said, wow, you're a killer. And these 6'8" fellas, leaning over and shaking her hand and everything. So it was really awesome.
She was very pleased with herself.
Yeah. How did you go from sitting on the couch to doing a Costco DVD with your wife to suddenly you and your family are all yoga teachers, even your 10-year-old twin daughters? How did the whole family get involved?
We just, yoga was something that we really took to, and changing the diet at the same time and losing the weight and really transforming our lives made us want to share that with other people. Like if you could understand how capable the human body is of feeling well and how awesome it is to be without pain and to live moments by moments in joy and happiness and to learn to suffer well, we had gotten so much from it that we decided we wanted to make it more of a permanent part of our life and to learn as much as we could so that we could offer that again to others. So we were living in Europe at the time, and we made the decision that we would go to India and study from the source. And so
it was
nice.
We
looked around and we picked out, where did we go?
Well, it was really cool because she was teaching at the time. And
not yoga.
You were teaching high school at the time, and we were living in Germany. And I was going through my master's program for health and wellness coaching. And, I had a little bit of time on my hands, too. And I was just feeling this calling, what are we going to do with this? Let's take a trip or grow in some way, because I was in the growing phase going through school.
Yeah.
And Michelle's like, well, I tell you what. Why don't we go somewhere really cool and get our yoga certification? So I started doing some studying, and I wanted to go, if we can go anywhere in the world, where would you go? So let's go to the birthplace, all of it. And that was in Rishikesh. So we went to,
we decided to go to
Rishikesh.
We didn't have babysitters living in Germany. So we took our twin daughters, who were nine at the time, with us, and we all lived in the ashram for a month and a half and went through that experience together, and it was a crazy experience. We were talking earlier today trying to cue each other's memories, and I remembered the plague of frogs, and Spencer remembered this kid Marcel who got bit by a noxious spider, and we were in an ashram with about 30 other people. Most of them were in their 20s and from all over Europe. So it was really fun. There was a lot of language barrier, but a lot of laughing, a lot of community building. We got sick. We had deli belly. We learned that the monkeys are cute but violent.
Don't approach the monkeys, because not only they might throw poo on you, they might throw you off the building where we were at. They might throw you off the building. Yeah.
They're huge monkeys. What? They're not little cutie monkeys.
Don't approach the monkeys. You know.
Oh my gosh.
They might grab you and throw you off.
So did you, what kind of warning did you give your children?
Well, you have to warn Grace about everything. Ava's a little more hesitant, and so she's cautious on her own. Grace is, you know, probably part monkey and was really badly wanting to be out there with the monkeys, but it was actually our yoga instructor, Jaya. Jaya had a hold of her and was like, no, you know, and he put the fear into her because he told her he has seen them throw big people off the building.
Oh, right. My gosh. Yeah. Were there other children there?
No.
Oh, no.
No one else was that crazy.
What was that like having your whole family and while you're going through that transformation of deepening your yoga practice?
Well, it's really a practice of trust and like letting go, because there was times where I was incapacitated with fever.
That's right.
You know, because I was running 103 for a couple days and I couldn't move. And so Michelle would go to class. I'd stay in our room, and Michelle would then come back and then tell me all about like how they took care of the kids. The entire community, everyone there, everyone from friends from Russia, from, you know, Sweden. I mean, all of these people would come together. The cooks would all take turns like asking them questions, you know, and getting them involved with yoga, and asking them what they'd like to play with, and would play with them and do acrobats with them, acrobatic type stuff with them and play.
The instructors would have them up front because the girls at their smaller stature could pretzel any pose, any pose.
How
and
amazing.
So the instructors would have them up front demoing on them, you know, and those kids trooped through. We had 12 hours of class on average a day, and they would troop through those with us. They would sometimes fall asleep during philosophy or anatomy, but they did all of the physical yoga.
Yeah.
And they still like yoga.
Oh, well, they're teenagers now. So
how old are they?
They're 14.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So they can't like anything that we like right now. It's a rule. And when that passes, I'm sure they'll come back to the yoga. Yeah.
I know that rule very well, actually. In fact, I remember I went vegan for the first time when I was a freshman in high school. And it was so hard. My first day of being vegan, I'm like, okay, I'm vegan and I'm in public school. And I'm like, what am I going to eat? Nothing. I'll go to the vending machine. What's in the vending machine? There's nothing vegan to eat. Okay, I'll get Cheetos. And I'm halfway through the bag of Cheetos when I realized that Cheetos is made out of cheese and cheese isn't vegan. And I was like, how am I going to do this? And my mom was so like furious that I would not eat anything. I wouldn't drink milk. And she was so upset. And we'd have these big blowout fights. And so I stopped being vegan and went vegetarian for like 10, 14 years. And then my mom suddenly became vegetarian, and then she suddenly became vegan. And then she's a raw food chef who does like consulting and one-on-ones with people, helping them like with their diet. And suddenly I was like, I'm going to eat meat again. And I think just like subconsciously, I was just trying to rebel against my mom. Yeah. And so we have these really interesting conversations about food. Uh-huh. So I can connect with your daughters in that way.
Yeah.
Still eat.
They're still vegan. Mm-hmm. And that I don't think will ever change. Like, mm-hmm. neither one of them had a very strong affinity for meat to begin with. And they were so young when we made the change that the actual thought of it is just kind of horrifying to them. Right. So I don't think that will ever become an issue. But certainly the things that we love, they have to voice some opposition to right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
For example.
Oh, you know, like I love to go to work. I love to be in the kitchen. I love to make food. I offer them a way to make money, to tag along.
Yeah.
I love to work the farmers markets and everything when you're 14 is like, no. It's all communicated in sighs and eye rolls.
Sighs and eye rolls. Yep. Absolutely. That sounds like an country album.
It sounds like you guys are dealing with it really well. The great attitude.
You just yoga helps with that too, right? Because you just put a lot of miles on your mat when time is hard. For me, like when my youngest son was going off to college, I think I put an extra 200 miles on my mat that month. You know, I was just like, I'm in a ball. Okay, get back on my mat. You know, every time I was losing my grip on things or my perspective and practicing letting go, I just get back on my mat. You know, and that's partly what we still do is when we really struggle, you know, get a little perspective, a little space, and then you can laugh at this stuff because it really is kind of funny.
I love that attitude. Yeah. Laughter is so important. Have you ever taken a laughter yoga class?
Yeah, I've actually taken people through a laughter yoga class too, and it's funny.
Can we book a laughter yoga class at Hollywood Market Yoga?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah.
I would love to. I've had requests for it, and I'm like, I don't know anyone who does that.
Yeah, you just got to be good at like laughing, just kind of.
Yeah. We can laugh yourself, right now.
Oh, gosh.
Is anyone else laughing? Is it working?
Yeah. I gotta.
But physiologically, your body can't tell the difference between real and fake laughter.
Right.
So you have all the release of the same good, feel good chemicals.
Well, the thing is, too, I mean, when you think about your breath, I mean, you know, when you're inhaling, it's that sympathetic nervous system kicking on the fight or flight. And when you exhale, that's the parasympathetic. So as you're laughing, you're long exhaling constantly.
Right.
So you're circulating that air and the blood's going through the body. You're feeling better. So after a while, if you can just fake laugh at somebody and just look at them and just keep laughing, soon that kind of that creepiness kind of fades away and you all start laughing. It's very interesting to notice how contagious that laughter is. And taking somebody through that is extremely rewarding to see that we broke through something there. We broke through that insecurity. We broke through being vulnerable. And these are a lot of things, again, going to the guys group, this is what, you know, they need to do. There's real power in that vulnerability and being able to be silly and to play again. And that's what laughter yoga is really all about, is just getting back to your roots of playing, the importance of play.
Have you seen that video? I don't know how long ago. Subway. I want to say it was in Europe or New York.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, if it was staged or not, but somebody, like, was pretending to read a book that was funny and kept laughing. And then suddenly another person's like laughing at this person laughing. And then another person starts laughing. The next thing you know, the whole car is just laughing. And it seemed like an experiment on humanity or something. It was a really cool video.
Absolutely. I wish I could, you know, get the name of it. But I mean, with Google search these days, it's always pretty easy. But that's something I saw. Even there was one done in the early 80s of a fella doing that and just giggling at himself. And then it was funny, he got the whole train doing it and he just kind of grinned and then he kind of exited at the next stop and they're all just kind of laughing. He just kind of contently walks off with a grin on his face. It's like, okay, my job's done here.
I love that.
So we have that power to go out there into the world and show up, put a smile on our face. And to laugh and to kind of spread that happiness. And that is contagious, too. Just as contagious as anything else that's out there these days.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So, so that's important to get back to those, you know, basics.
Mm-hmm. I do have a couple questions from you. I did a post on my Instagram the other day to see if anyone had any questions for you guys. Okay, so someone had a question about, let's say they're coming off of a cleanse and they want to start reintroducing like a normal diet, but they don't really know what a normal diet is anymore and they can't be cleansing forever. So what's some realistic ideas or thoughts that you have for somebody exiting a cleanse?
Well, I'm assuming they're exiting the cleanse and then probably trying to stay kind of on the plant-based side of things. So one thing that I really like is a good mushroom broth. It's a great replacement for like a bone broth because it has all of the same kind of benefit without any of the detriment.
Oh.
And it's delicious and it's filling and it gives you, the one I make has 12 different mushrooms in it, all of which have medicinal properties of their own. Some are adaptogenic. So this is a like a medicine that really can nourish your body and help you come back from the cleanse. And then I think adding bowls to a diet is a really good way to introduce a lot of healthy solid fibers.
Okay.
So to be truly healthy, our gut needs an average of 15 different plant fibers per week at a minimum. And so what we want to do is we reintroduce more solid food after I'm assuming a juice cleanse, is maybe look at a bowl that has a nice hearty grain that has some different green vegetables. If we can do colorful food, we're going to make sure that we get all the nutrients we need. And so we can really shop by color. We can get an orange sweet potato, we can get a red pepper, some green broccoli, and a very nice, some kind of grain. And that makes a very round meal. And
I struggle with sauces, what to do about a good sauce. Like I need a sauce for everything.
Right. And so many sauces have oil and sugar, which is, you know, kind of, It takes you backwards from your cleanse.
Defeats the purpose. Every salad is ruined now.
Yeah. So what you want to do is making sauce is super fun. You don't have to cook anything. You just need a blender. And my basic sauces are usually raw garlic, ginger, and then whatever flavorings I want to add. So this time of year, I use a lot of blackberry because it makes it sweet. And when you blend blackberry, you don't lose any fiber. So the sugar is no problem for your body. Mm-hmm. As long as the fructose is enclosed with the fiber, you're going to be fine. And so I'll make a dressing out of like raw garlic, raw ginger, some blackberry, sometimes some soy sauce, anything in there.
Some vinegar too.
Vinegar, apple cider vinegar.
Yes. Yeah.
I it wasn't until I started really having her salads, and she's really a genius when it comes to building these sauces. I found myself just like, I could just drink this. And like, what is it? It's like, well, that's the vinegar that I put in it. And it's like, oh, vinegar? Like, I didn't know that I really needed this vinegar in my life. And that's what people are needing, you know, like that salt, that sweet, that savory. And it's really that sour that people are really wanting.
I'm obsessed with sour. Yeah. I love vinegar. Like, I'm in the heat, hot yoga all the time. I'm eating all the sauerkraut. I'm drinking lemon juice and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to that stuff.
Absolutely. I didn't know.
It does so much for your microbiome. So, you know, having that acid come in, it seems counterintuitive, but the acid actually keeps you in an alkaline state so that nothing can really grow in your body. The only time things can go haywire is when you're acidic. And so taking an acid is a great way to keep yourself in an alkaline state. And so when your body really craves that, that's telling me you've had too much coffee or you had too much alcohol and you're in a more acidic state when you want to get alkaline. And so taking an apple cider vinegar helps to balance that.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. I've been trying to cut my coffee in half and been drinking mushroom tea, which I can barely, like the mushroom tea actually tastes so much better than the coffee. Yay! So I'm like, oh, well, that's surprising, but good. That's good for you. Let's see. I think I had a couple other questions. Someone had a question about organic and if it really is organic, and they're just confused by the different organic labels. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, totally. So this is a question I field fairly often from people, and it's a difficult one, right? Because organic does cost more, and that's a consideration for a lot of people. And what I tell them is eat vegetables. That's a great step in the right direction. If you can afford the organic, get the organic, because you're going to have less chemicals. And the truth is everything that we have has some level of chemical taint to it.
Okay.
Because there's some runoff, there's some things in the groundwater. A small level is kind of unavoidable. You're going to get less of it if you buy organic produce. And so when we can, we get organic produce. When we can't, we still eat produce. Like it's better if you can, and it's okay if you can't.
It grows in better soil. I mean, that's where it comes from. They're taking care of, it's grows in soil instead of dirt, you know, and them having to rely on herbicides and pesticides to kind of allow that fruit or vegetable to grow. But what's happening to the soil is that it's being depleted of all of its nutrients and what we're eating that's so important for us to build a healthy biome. So when you're talking about our own gut biome, it's no different than the soil that's outside. So you have a richer, a wider spectrum of minerals and vitamins and microbes that are allowing that fruit or vegetable to grow in an organic soil. So that for me is the biggest reason why I'm eating organic. And it tastes better. It does.
Is organic today different than organic like 20 years ago?
I think, you know, the chemicals that we're spraying on food today are more noxious than they've ever been. I mean, the things that we spray on food today were used in the Vietnam War. I mean, these chemicals that people have to wear full suits to protect themselves against to spray.
And they're spraying it on our food.
They're spraying it on our food. I mean, these chemicals are much more scary than they have ever been. And so organic is more rare. There's a small percentage of farms doing organic. It's kind of coming back.
Yeah.
There's a great film, if you want to learn more about this, called Kiss the Soil.
Kiss the Ground.
Kiss the Ground.
Okay.
With Woody Harrelson.
It's really awesome. Woody Harrelson does it. It explains about the importance of the soil and the microbiome that exists within the soil and what all of the spraying and tilling and tearing of the earth has done to our ground cover and what that indicates in global warming. It's all tied together.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a great educational film.
Well, yeah.
Kiss the Ground.
Yeah, and it also provides you, it allows you, it gives you kind of a blueprint on how you can do this yourself. So it also educates you as well. Like it even can link you to different classes all online. And how this works and how you can make this practical. So it's not just one of those documentaries that say, well, we're all screwed here. It's
there's no hope in what you can do. It's just like, get ready to die.
So get ready to die. But here, this obviously brings up the point and then offers you, like, it gives you hope in saying, we can really turn this around, you know, because manure is manure, you know, and that stuff really is works. And so they give you practical tips and ideas on how you can do this anywhere in your own backyard, the importance of not tilling and all these types of things. This is what they're doing at Ohana Farms, too.
Mm-hmm. And so we started a big garden this year. It was, you know, we've been getting more into trying to grow our own food and trying to learn more about how to carbon sequester in the soil. And, you know, once you start to align in a healthy kind of stance, then other things come into line and you really start to question your food supply and you really start to look at like how to preserve the future for your 14-year-old twins and kids younger than them. Like, how do we give them something that is still a good experience, you know? And so part of that is to learn about your food supply and learn about the soil and how you can help to keep that healthy. And so it's a great question that ties to so many other things. But yeah, I think everything has changed from 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing a resurgence of organic farms, no-till farms, and also female farmers, which I'm so excited about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Especially in mushroom farming, you see a lot of, you know, female farmers trying to kind of upset the patriarchy and, you know, take back some of the care of the land.
That's awesome. The last question I had was, not the very last question, the second to last question I had is, what is the number one advice that you would give somebody if they were just like, I'm not happy with my diet, help me? What's the number one thing you would say?
An answer?
One, stay kind with yourself. Yeah. You know, you're doing the best you can. And even if you're asking that question, you're on the right path. Yeah. You know, just to be kind to yourself and to just stay open and stay flexible, right, with the information you may be taking in. Educate yourself. Get curious. Have fun with it and be creative. And know that this is a process that takes time. It's not going to happen in a day.
I really love that you said that because I think I read an article a while ago. It said that they study these people and that the people who stressed about what they ate versus people who just were like, I'm accepting that I'm eating this right now. The people who stressed more actually had more stressed cortisol, gained more fat. So if you're going to eat naughty, at least don't judge yourself for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think my number one piece of advice, if someone is thinking about changing their diet, is just start. Just start. You know, like, you have to take a step. And if you step up one day and take two steps back, then I think it's the cha-cha, right? That's the joke.
Yeah.
It's not stepping back. It's a dance move. Just keep stepping forward when you can. Like, keep.
So an example of one of these steps would be.
Yeah, maybe let's have a salad for lunch, or let's eat less in general, or let's incorporate a smoothie. We always tell people that just start adding good things. Mm. Don't try to subtract things. Just try to add good things. And as you do that, it crowds out the bad things.
Brilliant advice.
Yeah, it's just like if you were to take like a glass that's half full of milk, you know, like say you want to clean that glass. Instead of just dumping out the milk, it's still remnants on the inside of that glass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just put it underneath the faucet and just run the water into it and just let it fill. You know, that milk in dilutes. And then over time, it overflows, allowing it to overflow. Soon, that water will all run clear. So it just really helps people kind of understand is just by adding in the good things, over time, that'll then purify, and then you're left with a clean glass of water.
I like the imagery for that one. I could really picture that. Michelle, I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
You know, there's a couple answers, but I think the one for me that I feel like sharing is just that I overhear my own quiet voice, and it talks to me and guides me. And when I'm in yoga is when I'm in most communication with myself, when I'm most clear, when I have my best thoughts, when I solve things. And so what I've overheard is really myself in clarity, in full focus. And that's been the greatest gift for me.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Spencer, same question.
Oh, it's a little bit different when I'm instructing the fellas there, that they speak in grunts and groans. and when I lift weights too, I'm around a lot of grunting and groaning type, you know, situations, but it's, when I'm hearing those grunts and groans, it's really like a surprise or a shock. Like, this should not be this difficult. This should not be this hard. Like, I'm sweating, you know, these types of things. And it's always this shock.
Mm.
And a little bit of panic sometimes too. So that's why I'm usually there to assist and just like, you know, just take this slow. Again, don't be in a rush here, you know, and we'll get through it. And in every practice, as you know, as an instructor, you take people up through the rising action. Of course, there's the peak or the climb, the apex of all of it, and then the rundown. So mm-hmm. When we're doing like a body scan, when we get down to Shavasana and you're taking people down through that and just listening to their breath, inhaling, and then I have them do like a full exhale with their mouth open, just you can just,
yeah.
Like, they're letting go of so much expectations of them being husbands, being dads, boyfriends, you know, brothers, all of those types of things. And they can be themselves and settling down and in, and they're accepted for where they're at and who they are. And that's all anybody can ask for.
You've overheard the grunts and the sighs of men just letting go and being themselves.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Is there any special events coming up? Any information you want to plug? Where can people find you and get your goodies?
Well, all of our cheeses are available at both co-ops. Thanks for asking, by the way. You can go to the co-op and pick up some probiotic cheese. We have a couple of things that we're planning right now. And you can always follow us on Instagram to find out what's next. And we're very excited to be growing and, you know, to have the business kind of come through COVID with us. And, you know, of course, things have changed, but we're still here and we're still kicking. And we would love to interact with more of our community. We'll be down at the 34th Street Market in August through the holiday season. And we're going to open our fall menu, which features a lot of soups and ready-made grilled cheese sandwiches that you can take home and just toss
so
in
good.
Your pan. So
that sounds so good.
Yeah, so we'll have a lot of new things coming out. And I think Instagram is probably the best way to find out, you know, what's going on with us. We're gonna offer another couples yoga soon. We just haven't yet selected a date.
Yeah. And then on the Kula Dude side of things, right now we're going to be opening up having an event in October. So anyone out there is listening and interested, oh yeah, I need to get him signed up for this. So that's going to be happening in October. Just go ahead and get a hold of us. We're at the Kula Connection on Instagram, or just find us at www.thekulaconnection.com.
thekulaconnection.com. And Kula is K-U-L-A. Kula, it's Sanskrit for community
of heart or choice.
I love it,
and
you guys.
I love that you're in my community, lady. This was
I love it too. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming on my little podcast. I appreciate you. I admire you guys. I look up to you, and I just love seeing you guys and what you're doing. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So fun.
Great. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!